Yeah. Yeah. I ain't trapping for nothing. Fuck niggas keep stunting. Spitting hot fire like this. I got this crisis. I'm not a Pisces. I'm a Cancer romancer. I'm your private dancer. I'm your love enhancer. Spitting dome, freestyling. From the dome, I'm wildin'. Got the beat that's bumping. I gotta spit a little something. All right, I'm just fucking around. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, we're here, we're live. Y'all thought I wasn't gonna be doing a broadcast this week, but I'm doing it this week. I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. I am here. We're live. Let everybody know we're live. Somebody say I'm doing the UK rap. 4 + 4 = 4. And 32 is 8. I wanna see you hate. You're not great. You get a rat tat, rat, that, that. No uckers, motherfuckers. All right, but we're here, man. Let everybody know that we're here right now. We're live right now, man. We got a lot of stuff to cover and talk about on today's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I need y'all to hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button, ladies and gentlemen, because we're going to go heavy today. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We will be right back. Don't move a muscle on Tariq Radio.
Yo, it's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And if you really want to learn how to attract beautiful women, go to badboymembership.com. The Bad Boy Membership gives you step-by-step, easy-to-follow dating advice tutorials every month. You'll also get my documentary, Game Kings, The Definition of Game, for free by joining the Bad Boy Membership. Step up your game today and go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin, by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas, called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com.
Does your life suck? Introducing the first ever successful course teaching black people how to connect the divine spirit to solve their problems. Finally, have the things in life you deserve by calling on divine forces, money, love, attracting people you desire, career opportunities, and business success. And most of all, replacing the system of white supremacy with justice. Don't be a scared Negro and go to starknowledge.net now and gain our ancestors' knowledge at starknowledge.net.
Hey, stop overpaying for your supplements. Static Supplements, that is your newest and best source for superfoods, proteins, pre-workout powders, and much more. The Static line features all natural ingredients and they offer lightning fast delivery and award-winning customer service. Static is also 100% black owned and operated. So go to staticsup.com. That's staticsup.com.
Do you have a passion for cooking and don't know how to monetize it? I am the owner of multiple food trucks grossing $250,000 a year each, and I can show you how. Learn from my documented successes of running a food truck and get straight to the cash. Sign up for my course at cookyourwaytocash.com. Again, that's cookyourwaytocash.com.
What's up, family? You know it's about to be a pull-up summer, so you want to stand strong with the blackest t-shirt out this summer. The Black SF limited edition t-shirt created by designer Thad Baltimore is available right now at webuyblack.com or tbaltimore.com. The shirt is black as F, and you know what the F means, so you need to get yours now, right now, at webuyblack.com. Check out the brand new novel, Low Hanging Fruit, by author Tyrus McKnight. Everything seems to be going wrong for 24-year-old Trenton Moore. Everyone close to him is either leaving or dying, but then he meets a 19-year-old Jessica Mars, who's a student who also does exotic dancing to pay her school fees. Can these star-crossed lovers find true love and happiness? Find out by reading the novel, Low-Hanging Fruit, available right now at Amazon.com.
If you are tired of buying expensive cocktails that are weak and leave you disappointed, order a drink from us at LiddyWithLee.com. All of our drinks are made with quality liquor, organic sweeteners, and natural juices. We ship domestically and offer delivery services throughout the NYC area. Here at Liddy with Lee LLC, we strive to provide you with a lit experience in a bottle. Follow us on Instagram at Liddy with Lee or check our website, LiddyWithLee.com.
If you're ready to step up your Second Amendment game right now, then you need to check out the most well-respected, thorough, black-owned firearms dealership in the United States, and that is Redstone Firearms. Redstone Firearms is headquartered out of Burbank, California, but you can purchase firearms and ammo from their website wherever you are around the country. Not only does Redstone provide the most top-of-the-line weapons for your protection, they also offer consulting, education on up-to-date gun laws, and firearms training. So go to RedstoneFirearms.com right now. Follow them on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Redstone Firearms.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximum strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Everybody, I need y'all to hit that like button. Hit that like button. Y'all see that thumbs up button right there with over 600 thumbs up and likes? I need y'all to hit that right now. Hit that thumbs up button. And I need y'all to hit that subscribe button if you're not already following the Tariq Radio channel. You need to follow the channel right now, ladies and gentlemen. And you need to share this broadcast. Share it on your social media. So let's get into what we're going to talk about on today. We got a lot to talk about. There's so much stuff we got to get into. But before I get into that, I just got back, ladies and gentlemen, from San Francisco in the Bay Area. I was up there really just taking a family trip first and foremost because, you know, my children, they want to go around the country and see certain things. And also what I do, I check out museums and study museums to get ideas for our hidden history museum that's going to be popping up and being built out here in Los Angeles. We're going to start launching the crowdfunding for that in a few days now. So everybody has to get ready for that. That's going to be a phenomenal historic project. And I when I go to these museums, and there's some great museums up there in the Bay Area, I get a lot of ideas from these museums. And one idea I got at our museum, the Hidden History Museum, we're going to have in the music section, we're going to have a comprehensive timeline of the history of West Coast hip hop. There are no institutions or anything that goes into And we're going to talk about hip hop in general, but we're going to really be the first one to really go into, because we're going to be on Crenshaw Boulevard, we're going to do a comprehensive exhibit on the origin of West Coast hip hop. We're going to talk about, you know, the Lonzo Williams, the Uncle Jam's Army, Egyptian Lover, LA Dream Team, World Class Wrecking Crew, Mecola Records, KDAY Radio Station, Ice-T, NWA, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, Snoop, all the way to Nipsey. We're going to break it down. And nothing has been done like that before, especially in a museum. And that's going to be the perfect place to do it, on Crenshaw Boulevard. So we have a lot of great ideas. We already told you about some of the ideas we have. We're going to have a master teacher section and a Black Explorer section. We're going to have the Black Revolutionary section. And in the Black Revolutionary section, we're also going to talk about the revolutionary origins of the Bloods and Crips. That story has never been told in a museum setting, ladies and gentlemen. What's the more perfect place than to do it at a museum in South Central Los Angeles? Let's talk about that. Let's not run away from it. Let's talk about something that went down and what the original ideas were for certain gangs out here. And where did things take a left turn? Remember, a lot of the gangs, many of them, they were revolutionary in spirit. For example, our brother T. Rogers came out of Chicago in the 1960s. In Chicago, they had the Blackstone Rangers. He brought that, the P-Stones, out here to Los Angeles, to the jungles, and that became a big blood gang out here. But the P-Stones, they were community activists at first. They were doing a lot of things for the community in Chicago. See, we got to talk about this. When we talk about revolutionaries, let's talk about all of it. Let's break it down and then talk about where things went another direction and why it went another direction. This is some great stuff, man. This is going to be so historic, man. Yeah, another thing, when I was up in the Bay, I didn't really see too much about the Panthers too many places. People were telling me there were certain museums that kind of sort of mentioned the Panthers, but I didn't find anything. I'm up in the Bay, and I didn't really find any comprehensive information about the Black Panthers, and they were formed up there in the Bay Area. We want to talk about that in our museum. We had a big chapter of the Black Panthers in Los Angeles. We want to go into that. See, I look at these museums and see what they have, and also look and see what they don't have. Because up there in the Bay, and in San Francisco in particular, and remember up there in Oakland and San Francisco, in Berkeley and all that, the Black Panthers were heavy in the 1960s. Now, in San Francisco, they revere the hippie culture. We were staying over there near the Haight-Ashbury area. So they got hippie stuff all over the place. You see, but let's not act like the hippie thing was going on and the Black Panthers were non-existent. The Black Panther thing was happening right when that hippie thing was happening. You see, so this is why it's very important for us to tell our story. It's very important for us to organize our capital, to put our story out there. You go up there, I'm up in San Francisco looking all around, and you go to these Asian communities, boy, they got Asian community centers all over the place up there. You see? They know how to mark their territories with their culture. They know how to mark their communities with their culture. You see? We got to start doing that. Because, see, up in San Francisco in particular, let me tell you, that is the LGBT headquarters. Boy, there are rainbow flags everywhere up there. Boy, the rainbow flags are everywhere. And another thing I saw up there, I saw a lot of interracial lesbian couples. I saw a lot of sisters up there cupcaking with white women. That is heavy up there. And I saw some brothers up there cupcaking with zaddies. That's a heavy thing up there. I saw a lot of that, and I saw a lot of stop Asian hate signs all over San Francisco, and they had something where you can scan with your phone. If you see an Asian hate crime, scan, use your phone to scan this code. It was all over San Francisco. Very interesting. Very interesting. But remember, San Francisco in the Bay Area, that place, there's a lot of things have been very experimental, a lot of experiments, because, you know, Silicon Valley is around that area. So a lot of things have been very experimental up there. They do a lot of experiments up there to test and see what's going to go out throughout the country. Up there, I kept seeing these strange cars all over the place. There were these strange cars with these funny looking satellite things on the roofs of the cars. I've never seen this before. And they were all over San Francisco. And I was asking people online, what are these things? They were saying that these were some kind of self-driving cars that they've been testing all around up there. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. These self-driving cars. Because I'm anything with robotic or AI technology, I take a close look at it, because a lot of these people who are into AI technology, a lot of these people are clicked in with the alt-right. And this one white supremacist who was on Joe Rogan's show, and I played the clip of him, Charles something. I can't think of Charles' last name. But this guy who was sitting up here talking about how black people have a gene that makes them more violent, this guy is clicked in with the AI technology community. See, we got to understand and remember, Silicon Valley was started by William Shockley, these white supremacist eugenicists. These people were very instrumental with Silicon Valley and a lot of the technology that's up there. Yeah, Waymo, that's the name of the thing, Waymo. See, that transhuman stuff, see, that's why if you watch the movie Buck Breaking, we talked about the correlation between LGBT, trans, transgender, then transhuman. You see, when you see all of that stuff working in concert with each other, you can understand the concept and the context of it. See, they got a lot of that transhuman stuff going on up there, a lot of automated systems and things like that up there. Oh, we enjoyed it. Now, look, San Francisco is a very beautiful place. A beautiful place. Oakland is the part we were in, downtown Oakland, beautiful place. We went over to Oakland, went over to the town. We ate at a Caribbean fusion spot named Miss Oli's. If you guys are familiar with that, there was a sister who owned a place called Cupcaking in the Bay. Great cupcakes over there. Black-owned cupcake spot. Great tasting cupcakes. Now, what was interesting, we ate at a place because we were looking up as many black-owned businesses as we can look up. When we go out of town, I like to patronize as many black-owned businesses as possible. And people, y'all kept recommending Chef Smelly's. His place, I don't know where it was, but it kept saying it was closed. Another place everybody kept recommending was Everett and Jones. That kept saying it was closed. So I don't know what the deal was with that, but I really wanted to go there. Yeah, the Miss Oli's, my wife didn't like it. I can kind of make do. My wife really didn't like it. But we were looking up again. We're looking up some black-owned restaurants. And we went to one spot that said it was black-owned called Brenda's. It was like a French soul food. And I thought that title was very interesting. French soul food? French Creole soul food. And I said, that's strange. That's a strange title. French soul food. But we went to this place, Brenda's. And there's a couple of locations for Brenda's up there in San Francisco. My Bay Area people probably been up there. And the food was very good. It was a woman from New Orleans. The food was very phenomenal. The food was very good. But come to find out, the woman ain't black. The woman who owns this soul food place is a Filipino woman. It's an Asian woman who owns this place, but they listed as black owned. And I give her credit. The food is good. She done got some recipes. She got a Creole baby. Now her ass is Filipino. Because I asked around. We were asking some of the staff. We were looking her up, and they told us that she's actually Filipino. But the food was good. I give her credit, but they listed the place as Black-owned. You see? So, you know, people capitalize off our culture. We have to capitalize off our own culture. Yes. Yes, and I'm going to give her credit. The food is actually good. The food is good. Now, there's a brother in Baltimore, I think. He has something called Black Dragon, a Black-owned Chinese food place. And we've been promoting him. I want to, when I go out there to Baltimore, the D.C. Baltimore area, I want to go check that brother out. But yeah, we got to understand, folks, this Brenda, she's from Louisiana. So she done been around some Black folks. She done went and got some recipes. That's why when I saw it's a French Creole and all that old stuff. No, we don't describe our food. Fried chicken is French. That's not French. That ain't got nothing to do with France. That was a funny title. That's why she had to word it the way she worded it. Not just soul food. It had to be a French Creole soul food fusion. So you got to kind of mix it in because you know it's not a real Black person creating this stuff. But see, this is why, family, people deal with us as a group. See, racism is a group sport. And other groups work within their groups to empower their group. Black folks, we have been programmed, and we got to shake this bullshit off. We've been programmed to not work as a damn group. The minute we're supposed to start working as a group, we have morons and idiots trying to talk down on us making progress out of jealousy and contempt. We are plagued with that. We got to get off that. Man, these folks are playing to win, man. They are playing to win against us, and they play as a team. And they don't bat an eye. When it's time to get something from us and capitalize off of it, they don't bat an eye. You understand? Now, let me go back to Brenda. I recommend going. The food is very good. See, we have to be on that. Well, we have to support our own. We got to be in a position where we start supporting our own. We have to support our own when we start getting restaurants, or if we try to get restaurants popping, we got to make sure our people are good so that other people won't come in and use our recipes and capitalize off our culture. Yeah, like our brother Claude Anderson has always said, racism is a team sport, and if you don't play as a team, you lose by default. And we lose by default because we always got niggas who want to be the head nigga in charge. You want to be the head nigga that's being seen. But again, like I said, these folks play as a group, especially the white LGBT community. Boy, they got San Francisco locked down. They got that thing locked down. And what's interesting up there, now we were at a park. It got a lot of beautiful public parks up there. And I forgot the name of this park. If you've been to San Francisco, they got parks everywhere. Beautiful parks. So, you know, our kids, you know, we took the babies with us, so they see parks, they want to go play. So it was one big park that was the park. How can I describe this park? If for my San Francisco people or my Bay Area people, there's a huge park. The park has a section, a little play section that's kind of down the hill. The park is up on a hill, and down the hill in the center of part of the park is a little playground area. And on the top of the hill, on the sidewalk, you have a lot of benches where people can sit down and, you know, you can kind of look down the hill. And when we're going to the park, we're going down the hill in the actual park. We notice there's a bunch of just white dudes sitting around on the benches on the sidewalk. They were just sitting around on the benches, just kind of white dudes by themselves. But we went down in the park area and the kids are playing and the kids are doing their thing. And then I saw a sign. I saw a very interesting sign. I've never seen a sign like this before. Is it Dolores Park? It might be Dolores Park. It might be Dolores Park. They got a very cute little slide. They got little slides that the kids can go down. Yeah, Dolores Park. I think it's Dolores Park. But, and I posted this on my social media. There was a sign that says, adults must be accompanied by children in order to be in this area. You say the top of the hill is called Gay Beach. Wow. Okay, I'm reading some of the stuff in the chat room. Okay, so this is kind of known. So the sign was like, hey, you can't come in the park if you don't have a kid with you. I'm like, why would they have to put that there? Then it clicked. I said, oh, okay, so that's why those white dudes are sitting up there on those benches by themselves. These are goddamn pedophile perverts. I was like, oh, is that bad? The pedophiles and perverts are so bad, they have to have signs where they can't be in the kids' area unless they have a kid with them. I'm like, oh, okay, kids, come on, let's get the hell out of here. Let's bounce. Because of all the damn pedos. And they were just sitting there. I was wondering, why are these dudes just sitting around the park like this? Looking creepy as hell. Yeah, man, I've never seen a sign like that. First, I thought it was a joke. Like, if you're an adult, you must be accompanied by a kid. Then I'm like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. And there's something to that. There's something to that. But yeah, I think it was Dolores Park. I'm like, damn. Yeah, California has always been pedo-friendly, especially San Francisco. It's been pretty pedo-friendly. You know, just go sit up there, pedophiles. If you want to, just don't come down here with the kids. You can sit up here and watch them. I was wondering why they had benches up there on the sidewalk so people can look down at the park. That was very weird to me. So yeah, I had to get the kids on up out of there. But again, man, this thing is real. If y'all have not seen Buck Breaking, you better go get the movie Buck Breaking and watch it now. There was something that I posted that almost seemed like a joke. Up there in London, they had something where a library brought in a reading troupe to help children learn how to read. They brought in these actors, and one of them was dressed as a character called the Rainbow Dildo Monkey, where he had a rainbow costume on, a dildo on, a prosthetic ass outside of the rainbow monkey suit, and he's dancing around with his dildo dangling in front of kids. And this is a thing out there. And the library basically apologized for bringing the rainbow dildo monkey around the kids. Family, if y'all sit up here and play games with these goddamn white supremacists, but you're just as sick as them, I don't have time to play games with these folks. These folks are just, they're not even trying to hide the agenda at this point, guys. They're not even trying to hide this agenda. Some of this stuff, I couldn't even put in a movie. People would think I'm making it up. These folks are just all the way gone. They feel like their days are numbered, so they're just gonna throw all the shit on the wall to see what sticks. We as godly people, moral people, sensible people, we're gonna have to combat this with everything we got. This is why I'm so big on us getting our own institutions, us educating our people, us creating our own curriculums, us creating our own films so that we can debrief our people. We cannot continue to let these people be our chief educators. These folks are sick and they're trying to poison our minds. We cannot allow that to happen, family. It's game over for them. We got to start learning how to do things independent of them. This is why I'm so big on entrepreneurship, promoting black businesses, networking with other black people. And this is something that we're going to do heavy with the Hidden History Museum. We got perks where we're going to advertise certain black businesses, people who contribute to the initial founding of the museum. We're going to have different perks for people who are business owners. If you are a business owner, we're going to have perks where you can advertise your business in the museum or on the website for a couple of years. We got some perks where you will have advertisement in the museum for life. We got all types of great perks for black business owners. This is going to be such a great, phenomenal, historic opportunity. So you guys really have to stay tuned for that. But us trying to go along with the program of the dominant society, that's done. This is what we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. The Boule bootlicks are at it again. If you look at the picture, ladies and gentlemen, this is Joyce. What's Joyce's name? She's part of the Congressional Black Caucus. She's one of the chairs of the Congressional Black Caucus. If you're watching now, if you're looking live now, the woman who's sitting here looking like a cross between Al Sharpton and Madea, she's sitting here, standing here, getting arrested. She's being arrested. And they're doing this good trouble hustle. They keep doing these good trouble performative art hustles. These fake arrests. I done talked about this before. Remember when they did that old fake arrest down in Atlanta? The woman got on her little City Trends outfit and her little old bullshit boots, showing off her boots while she's getting arrested. Lord, I got the vote. Ooh, they taking me into jail, y'all. Ooh, let me turn around and show my belt. Ooh. She put on her little old Easter suit to show herself getting arrested. This little hustle they keep doing, this little civil rights retread, this is a little fake-ass performative arts piece that the Democrats and their Negro bootlicks keep doing, this photo op BS, this stage garbage where they want to relive the civil rights era, because they're not giving us no damn tangibles, okay? They have no tangibles for foundational black Americans at all. So the name of the game is for them to do these little publicity stunts in order to say, hey, look, this is what we did. We had fought for the voting rights of black peoples. We had fought. We had got arrested. We had sacrificed ourselves just like Martin Luther King them did. We got in good trouble just like John Lewis and them did for our voting rights. So they keep doing this little super fake, silly nonsense. Let's be clear. And we see the familiar faces in here, by the way. Let's be clear. Black people's voting rights, there's nothing wrong with our voting rights. Nothing is happening with our voting rights, okay? Let's be clear. Our voting rights as black people are fine. Our voting rights are not being jeopardized. We can vote. We're good. So they try to tie the black collective into some of these voting right protections, talking about, well, there's some poor black peoples who don't have an ID. So the poor black people, you know, they need, if they can't vote, this is infringing on their right. That's bullshit. Okay, let's stop that. This is not about some poor black folks who don't have an ID. This is these Negroes caping and campaigning for illegal immigrants, ladies and gentlemen. This is for illegal immigrants who come over here and don't have no ID. This is for them. They're trying to use their melanin so that illegal immigrants can piggyback off the civil rights retreads that they're doing. That's all this is. They're getting in good trouble for immigrants, for illegal immigrants. This is what they're doing this for. This is not for us at all. Do not let them fool you. They want us to support it because they got to get us to galvanize and get behind this stuff so that the immigrant groups can piggyback off of it. Protect our, I'm so sick of these Boule bootlick Negroes using their melanin to piggyback all of these other groups on top of us so that these Sambos can get butter biscuits. This is a con game. This is a good Trouble Hustle Con Game, dude. This is for immigrant groups. The Congressional Black Caucus are full of it. And we gotta call them out for this nonsense. With these silly fake ass duress. And we gotta understand this. A lot of these Boule bootlick Negroes, a lot of them will switch parties at the drop of a hat. No, you notice a lot of these Negro conservatives, fake, they're not really conservatives, they're fake conservatives. But a lot of those Negro conservatives used to be liberals. They used to be clicked in with the NAACP. A lot of them used to be clicked in. Notice a lot of these Negroes be like, I'm conservative now, and I was the most liberal person ever. I was the president of the NAACP in Jackson, Mississippi. It's always them types. Remember Candace Owens, before she went full Coon Mammy, she was clicked in with the NAACP, who helped get her a settlement because of a racial discrimination case. One of the America's Next Top Mammies. So a lot of these folks have these NAACP ties. There's a new mammy named Ruth Edmonds, who's now a conservative. So she's up here buck dancing for the, and I won't even say conservative. These are white ass kisses. So listen to this woman here. This is a woman who they, the white media, they're parading her around now because she's running for Congress in Ohio. So her whole platform is ain't no racism. Black peoples ain't victims. Now this is Ruth Edmonds, and I want y'all to listen to this. Hold on.
Underway. I have been very troubled for many years that there's this false narrative happening, going on, and that false narrative is that Caucasians are villains and brown-skinned people are victims. And I know that that is not a true description of who we are as Americans. So when the opportunity became available for a leader, a voice like mine, common sense and traditional values to step in this race and to make a difference, it's my time. I am not new to this game. And others will probably remember that I was the president of the Columbus branch of the NAACP. I know how to bring people together.
Oh, Lord.
I know how to inspire people to be the best that we can be so that we have the kind of country, the kind of community, the kind of state that our children deserve. I want voters to know that on August the 3rd, they will have a choice to shift and change the narrative in our country back to one nation under God, indivisible.
Okay, shut up, mammy. So this is one of these women who be up in them white churches, them conservative white churches kissing ass. They love going up in those conservative white churches because they love being the pet Negro. A lot of these black folks like going to those Joel Osteen type churches, these very conservative white churches, because if you're the token Negro, the token mammy, the white conservatives, they treat you so well. Oh, they love, it's like a plantation. Conservative white people, when there's a token Negro around, let's be very clear. And I say conservative with air quotes, conservative white people, boy, it's like you back on the plantation. They have no problem with their one little token Negro. You're their best buddy. Oh, they'll parade you around. They'll invite you to church and invite you to the picnics, and they'll feed you. They'll give you leftover food, and they'll give you hand-me-down clothes. They love their token Negroes. They love to parade you around to prove they're not racist. They love that, the token Negro. Just as long as it's not at least six of you. Oh, that's the rule. Oh, they'll take a couple of you as long as it don't get up to six. Like Claude Anderson said, the white supremacists usually got a rule of six. If it's six or more, then they get threatened. Oh, okay, it's too many niggas. But if it's five or less, oh yeah, they can come on, eat something. I got some boysenberry pie for you. Oh, they love it. Oh, you're the pet. They love parading you around. It's just like back on the plantation. But understand, these Negroes will sell us out just so they can get a pat on the head from the dominant society. And this Ruth Edmonds lady, see, another thing, these people got these shady backgrounds that don't nobody know where they from, who their parents are. This woman, I smell some oxtails on her because her background is very shaky. is very shadowy. I understand she was raised by her grandparents or something. I don't know what that means. So I don't know where these people come from. You see, you got these people who come from these different backgrounds. A lot of them pretend to be FBA, but they're not really FBA. A lot of them are not FBA. That's another thing. We got to start checking these people's paperwork. And speaking of foreign people, my folks over in South Africa is going, there's protests all over the world right now. In Cuba, I'm going to get on South Africa in 1 second, but in Cuba, they're protesting like heavy over there in Cuba. They're hitting the streets right now. They're like, they're tired of the bullshit. They want some freedoms. They're tired of the communism. I don't know. They're tired of the bullshit over there. So a lot of protests are going on. And also, a lot of Cubans are protesting in Florida all over the place in solidarity with the Cubans in Cuba. Now, here's the interesting thing. Now, DeSantis, ain't that the governor out there? They have all types of anti-rioting laws in Florida where they're talking about you can run over protesters. Boy, they got all types of anti-protest laws in Florida, but they're not implementing them now because they know that those Cubans, that's a strong voter base for the Republicans. So now they're not implementing all of those anti-protest rules and policies out there against them white Cubans. You see? It's very heavy. Yeah, the white Cubans are getting a pass, see? But they're telling, when black folks get out there protesting, they're telling the people, hey, you can run them over with impunity. They're protesting in Florida right now. Somebody said they're protesting in Florida right now. Yeah, but where's all those militarized police and all that? I heard you, they said you weren't supposed to be protesting in Florida. Yeah? Is DeSantis Cuban? Oh, okay. Man. So are people going to start running them over? I mean, what's the deal? You see, when it comes to us, boy, they changed the narrative. Just like with, have y'all heard the story with Richard Sherman? NFL player Richard Sherman, he went up to his in-law's crib and he was banging on the door trying to get in. There was some kind of altercation. He's banging on the door, cursing at him. I don't know what happened. I don't know the details, but boy, they're portraying him as a damn monster. They charged him with domestic violence. Now, here's the kicker. They charged him with burglary, domestic violence, but he didn't harm anybody. He didn't hit anybody. He didn't touch anybody. But they hit him up with burglary, domestic violence. And I think it's a felony, and they got him in jail on no bail up there in Seattle. Yeah, he was drunk. They said he was drunk. He's banging on the door, trying to get in. He's mad. He's cursing. But he didn't hit anybody. He didn't harm anybody. But they hit him with a domestic violence charge for beating on the door. Didn't steal anything. But they hit him with a domestic violence charge. See? They had to make him out to be a woman beater. They had to make him out to be a predator. See, when it comes to us, they can find charges to put on us. See, they put those I'm white and I say so charges on us. See, when it comes to people in the dominant society, this is why the modern police as we know it, they just have to be abolished. They don't have to be reformed. There's no such thing as reforming white supremacists. They got to be abolished. And they use the I'm white and I say so law on us. Yeah, he has no prior charges, has a clean background. He probably has CTE. He clearly looks like he has CTE. I'm looking at the way he was acting. It looks like CTE. See, we don't get that luxury. It's just a violent Negro who needs to be charged. You don't look at it as CTE, which it looked like he clearly has. The judge hit him with 5 misdemeanors. Okay. But listen, when it comes to us, boy, they'll find a charge to put on our ass. Even if you don't harm nobody, domestic violence, burglary, even if you don't steal nothing, burglary, domestic violence. You don't steal nothing, you don't hit nobody, but you got a burglary, domestic violence charge. See, when it comes to people in the dominant society, when they start letting them wild out and let them harm, when they let them harm black people and then act like the police act like their arms are, their hands are tied, that's the white supremacists getting on code. There's a video going around of this white supremacist Karen up, I think, in a Victoria's Secret shop. And the video is going viral of the white woman swinging on a sister. She tried to assault this sister a couple of times. And then the white woman started crying and going into convulsions and acting like she was a victim. And people were clowning that video. It went viral. Let me see if I could find, hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if I could find that, the audio from that video. Okay, let me, hold on, full video. Hold on, let me see if I can find some of the audio for that video for you guys. Hold on. Is this it? Hold on. Oh, okay. Can't go crazy. Hold on 1 second. Nah, I can't find it. Hold on. I want to see if I can find some of the audio for that. Because it went viral and people were talking about it the other day. Okay, okay. I think this is it. Okay, here it is. Okay, let me play some of the audio of this. So this is the white woman swinging on a sister in Victoria's Secret. Hold on.
Oh God, no!
Excuse, now you are. Oh my God! Oh my God!
So now the white woman's crying.
Do you see this? Oh my God! I never thought nothing like this would happen to me. She just tried to run and hit me, and now she. Did you see her?
This may be the.
So now the white woman is crying. Hold on.
Check out.
So now the white woman is falling, fake falling on the floor. So she tried to assault a sister in a mall in front of everybody, this white woman, this white Karen. And when the police show up, the police immediately get on code with the white Karen and start white-splaining. Now, this is the police talking to the sister, and the sister's asking, like, how come this woman is not being escorted out of the mall? Hold on.
Attacked in the mall. The manager, I had to run behind her. I chased him around. He's telling me he can escort me to my car, but she doesn't have to leave the mall.
Listen, I'm not finished shopping. I have two other stores to go to.
What I'm saying. I don't work for the mall. I can't order her out of here.
Yeah, but you work for Milburn. I was just almost assaulted in this mall.
I can't. The mall security can ask. What I'm saying is, I'm not telling you you have to leave right now.
But I'm not saying that, but.
So she's talking to a cop. The cop is sitting here, well, I can't. I don't work security at the mall. So they always defer the power to other people. So now he's pretending that the mall security has the power. Well, I can do. Now they turn into Barney Fife when it comes to other white people. Well, I don't know. I can't. Well, I get where you're coming from, but I don't know. It's the mall security. I don't know.
If the shoe was on the other foot and I would have tried to attack her white ass, you would have me escorted out this mall.
Ma'am.
That's just how I feel. The manager told me he chased, huh?
I wish he didn't feel that way.
I do feel that way.
He can't really explain it. He's just saying, well, I wish you didn't feel that way. I mean, he can't really logically explain why they're not escorting this woman out of the mall. Forget about that. Why they're not arresting her. How come they're not even taking her out the mall? They're just sitting down, I mean, standing there casually talking to this white woman after she has blatantly attacked a sister in a mall. She assaulted somebody, and they're sitting there protecting the white woman, basically.
I do feel that way. I was just almost attacked and assaulted, and you telling me three times, and he can't get out. You hear this?
If you have any concerns.
Well, I'm going to, this lady, they won't kick out the mall. I'm a dog. I want to see if she act up in front of y'all, what y'all would do.
Now, mind you, I just saw a video of a situation in a Walmart where it was some black women involved. Family, the police came in, beating them black women's asses. One cop punched a black woman in the damn throat. I want to say this was in Ohio somewhere. I forgot where it was, but it was another video that came out last week some sisters got into an altercation, some black women, and boy, the cops came in whooping ass. The cop picked one sister up, had her hands behind her back, and socked her dead in her throat. So when it's some sisters, boy, they know what to do. They got all the power. With the white woman, all my hands are tied around. I understand why you feel that way, but around, I can't do nothing. We can't do nothing.
So he's telling me that, first of all, the manager already said she tried to attack me. I want her to leave the mall. I don't understand why she can't be escorted out the mall. She tried to attack me twice. She should be escorted out the mall. Okay.
And the cops are just standing there basically protecting the white woman. Okay, so y'all got my point. The point is, family, I want y'all to understand a crucial point of white supremacy. White supremacy operates on common law. Common laws are laws that are understood but not written down. The part of common law means that you're supposed to, if you're part of the dominant society group, you side with white people against black people no matter what. That's part of the common law. I want black people to understand that. Black people get to yelling about, I know my rights. I got a document. I got a piece of paper. And I know what I read. No, y'all don't understand the common law of white supremacy that they understand. They understand if a white person is against a black person, the rest of white society is supposed to side with the white person no matter what. Or go light on the white person if they inflict any kind of punishment, if at all. Because they play this game as a group. White supremacy is a group sport, family. White supremacy is a group sport. They play as a damn team. Black folks, we have to understand that. Yeah, niggas get to running around. See, you don't want to work as a group. When you get caught up by these race soldiers, niggas start talking about, I'm a sovereign citizen. I is sovereign. I am a nation within myself. Then all of a sudden you get beat up. Wait, this is illegal. You beat me like this. I'm a Moroccan citizen. Why are you beating me up like this? You ain't supposed to beat me like this. What you gonna do, Moroccan citizen, by yourself? You think that piece of paper that you got is gonna protect you? No. It don't work like that. The only way to combat systematic white supremacy is for us to move as a group. We have to be on code and we have to move as a group, ladies and gentlemen. We gotta move as a group. And one of the reasons why we get undermined, let's be very clear, we get undermined by a lot of outsiders. We're always undermined by a lot of outsiders. That's why whenever we get a project going, it's always some non-FBAs, we're gonna have to get on your ass, who's always talking down on any kind of progress we're trying to get, because they come from these cultures that's completely off code. That's why they had to flee their homelands. Y'all come from these cultures that are on some goofball tribal nonsense. You fucked up over there, then you come up with that same tribal nonsense and try to undermine us and sow dissension among us. We see that too much with these non-FBA folks, and that has to be called out. Y'all got to get on code and get off that bullshit. And stop speaking on FBA business that has nothing to do with you. I posted a video earlier of the rapper, singer Akon, again, talking about how we need to get over slavery and move on and forgive, and speaking on a culture that ain't his culture. See, this type of talk is meant to undermine us. Now, let me play this clip of Akon. Hold on. Because he's talked about some of this before. He does this a lot.
Believe it or not, bro, the slavery piece, the conversation, it only brings us down. I don't think it uplifts anybody. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think we need to stop talking about it, believe it or not, because it's the fact that we never let it go is why we can't move forward.
We?
You follow what I'm saying? Because now we're blaming everything on the root of what they what that is. Yeah. Because we have so much more potential. Believe it or not, everything that we've accomplished is because we've forgot about that.
We?
The people that still thinking about that is the ones that still can't, they still stuck in that time. Yeah. So I think the cure for us is to just forget and forgive the past. Because we're forgiving people by nature anyway.
Naturally.
We're going to talk about it. Yeah, it's going to still obviously bother us.
Right.
But let's not make it an issue to a point where it affects our growth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when it comes back to the storytelling again, this is what we do for the major corporations now. Mm-hmm. Universal ain't built to be a $35 billion company without urban music.
Okay. First of all, Akon is not a foundational Black American. Our history ain't your history, bro. That's number one. Akon would never go to the Jewish community telling them to forget about the Holocaust. He knows not to say no nonsense like that. They come around us telling us to forget about the Holocaust that our ancestors survived. Because, see, this is not your history. Talking about we accomplished this. Dude, y'all accomplished fleeing and then coming over here living off the struggle and sacrifice of foundational Black Americans. I am never going to forget the sacrifice and the struggle that my family survived. I am a full-blooded foundational Black American. My bloodline goes all the way back to the foundation of this country that was built by my family. My family built the greatest nation and the most powerful nation in the world. I'm never going to forget about what my family did and survived so that I could be here and other foundational Black Americans, because the energy and the spirit that they had to survive is in me and it's in other foundational Black Americans, and some of y'all don't have that energy and that damn spirit. We never ran, never will, and y'all don't have that goddamn energy and that spirit, and there's a lot of contempt against us because you don't have that, because a lot of y'all feel a certain way because you had to flee your homeland. You had to throw in the damn towel and flee, and then you come over here and try to have and implement that type of failed mentality into us. We ain't gonna do that. You're not going to tell us we need to forget about our history that our family survived. We survived the greatest atrocity in recorded history. No other group has been treated like foundational Black Americans and survived. I ain't never forgetting that. That wakes me up every day and keeps me thriving. I will never forget about that. My great ancestors, the great Harriet Tubman, the great Nat Turner, the great Denmark Vesey, the great John Horse. I will never forget about that. These riders who survived this atrocity that no other group would have survived. I will never forget that. That's why we're doing a museum. We're going to put that on our shoulders and use that as inspiration to keep on pushing. I will never forget our damn foundational Black American ancestors who survived the Holocaust of American slavery, where our families were ripped up. We were changed into whole new people. Our names and legacies were stripped. Our children were sold. We were bred. We will never forget that. And they still survived and got out of that and still were able to find levels of success in spite of that traumatic system that was inflicted upon them. I will never forget that. Don't come over here telling us what the hell we should forget and y'all fled. And then come over here talking about your tribes. You don't forget your tribes. I'm Igbo. I'm Yoruba, I'm this, I'm that. You don't forget about your tribes. We're not going to forget about our legacy that goes back centuries here. See, the thing is with us, and this is a projection they use, we don't look at our history and say, okay, we ain't going to do nothing because of our history. No, we use our history as fuel. We have always used our history as fuel. Let's be very clear. We're the only ones who are really consistently fighting goddamn white supremacy. We are the only ones who are consistently fighting white supremacy. These other groups, y'all throw, you threw the towel in. And you act like what's going on in your countries that's failed. Well, that's just because of the corrupt government. Well, who corrupted the government there? Y'all want to pretend that it's not the white supremacist hand meddling all in your business over there. Let's be very clear. See, as foundational Black Americans, we're taking ownership of what's ours. We have been co-opted by the white supremacists, but this is our land. Let's be very clear. This is our land. Just because the white supremacists are in charge now don't mean they're going to always be in charge. We're fine without them. We were fine without them before. We could continue to be fine without them. Foundational Black Americans, we are one of the only groups of people who we want the white supremacists out of our business. When we get away from them, we actually start thriving. When they ain't meddling in our business, that's why they always got to be in our damn mix. Nobody has built more institutions that are self-sufficient than foundational Black Americans. John Henry Clark talked about this. We have built institution after institution after institution. We've had them burned down. We had to rebuild. We built cities all over the place, burned down, rebuild. We built cities. Family, do y'all know how many Black cities were flooded deliberately in this country? We know about Lake Lanier. That's a Black community, a former Black community that's under Lake Lanier. This was something that was done commonly. Family, we survived. I ain't about to forget that. This is some stuff we're going to have in the museum, by the way, that we don't even know about how many Black cities around the country were deliberately flooded by the white supremacists. Remember what they did to New Orleans? That was just the tip of the iceberg during Hurricane Katrina, where they flooded the city. They deliberately flooded the city, remember? They always did little stuff like that in Black cities. We're going to have to get into that. This is why we need our own museums and our own institutions to really get our history out there to talk about it. But people who are non-FBA coming into our spaces telling us what we need to look at and do about our history, when you are benefiting off the struggle and the work and the laws put in there by the fighting of foundational Black Americans. Remember, Akon's family came over here deliberately to have him, to anchor him over here, using the 14th Amendment. Using the 13th and the 14th Amendment that Black people fought for, that made you automatic citizens if you were born here. So that had a lot of people bringing anchor babies over here so that they can get all the benefits and all the privileges that we fought for. You understand? So people, we can't let outsiders speak on our history when this isn't their history. Because see, the thing is, we're talking about reparations, and this is what this is really about. Foundational Black Americans, we're talking about getting some damn reparations. We're talking about being really political. And political, as our brother Stokely Carmichael said, politics ain't about voting one time every 4 years and then going back to sleep. You're political every single day. Going into the voting booth don't make you political. What you do on a daily basis dictates your politics, guys. Politics is a daily thing. So when we're campaigning for our tangibles because of our history, all of these other groups that's piggybacking off of us, see, they're shaking in their boots now, because now we're not going to let them piggyback off everything that we get now. We're not going to let them continue to piggyback off our struggle, because see, they depend on us being asleep in order to get with the white supremacists to help capitalize off of us. This is why I talked about this before. Many of these goofy ass gossip sites that promote goofball niggotry, Shade Room, Bossup, Madame Noir, Media Takeout, all of these low level, low brow, low chakra, websites that are heavily promoted by the white supremacists, and they have become a part of fake black culture. These are all run by non-FBA immigrants. They come over here and capitalize off the low bottom rung of black society. And the minute we start talking about progress and positive things and things that's going to bring us tangibles, those are the main Negroes who are part of these little jive ass sites. They're the main ones trying to undermine us. That love and hip hop crowd, all of that, that's run by immigrants. Mona Scott, World Star, all of that, those are immigrant institutions. Non-FBA immigrants who come in and peddle bullshit culture as black culture. They love for us to be sleep and dumb so they can capitalize off of it and get with white folks. The minute we start talking about doing something progressive, all of a sudden, hey, let's not do that now. When Akon, who got his weight up by singing about being locked up. Oh, that was a great thing. You came up off talking about criminal culture in black society. That's how he came up, talking about being locked up. You won't let me out. You talking about criminal culture in black society. That's cool. You made your money off that. But now we're talking about no criminal culture. We're talking about doing something positive, progressive. Hey, wait a minute now. Let's let that go. I don't know now, niggas. Let's let that go now. We shouldn't. I don't know about talking about that's holding us back right there. Hold on. You singing about being locked up ain't holding us back. But us talking about getting us some reparations and us getting some tangibles, that's holding us back, bro. That's what's holding. Now we being held back. No. Y'all want to sleep so that you can come over and be the model minority Negro group. If you're stepping all on top of us. No, we're not playing that game. Now, over there, speaking of Africa, over there in South Africa, there's some shit going down now. They locked up an official over there. Some shit is going down over there. There's a lot of rioting and looting going on over there. I'm seeing a lot of the white supremacists who are the minorities. They're out there shooting black people on sight in South Africa. South Africa, black folks, what are y'all doing? Them white supremacists are shooting black folks on sight, and they are the minority. What are y'all doing in South Africa? Y'all better get that right. Y'all better get that right, all my South African families. Remember, you are the majority there. You better get you a gun or some guns to protect your damn self getting peeled off by a minority group. Man, y'all better protect yourselves over there and stop playing around. What's going on in South Africa? I saw some videos of white supremacists just picking folks off, just driving around shooting black folks in South Africa. Man, y'all better handle that. That's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Let me get out of here. But again, man, we're getting this museum thing popping, man. We got to get everybody behind that. This is going to be a huge, huge, huge project, ladies and gentlemen, man. This is going to be one of the biggest projects that I've ever worked on. The most important project that I've ever worked on, that we've ever put together. And we're going to do this, guys, because we are survivors. We've done things like this before, and we're going to continue to do it. We're going to go back to us getting on code and building our own institutions like we used to do. Remember, we used to do stuff like build our own communities, build our own homes, build our own factory. We used to do stuff like that. We got to get back into that. And we're going to do that. But anyway, y'all have a great afternoon, man. Go to buckbreakingmovie.com. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com. Go to ogunjuice.com. And I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday. Peace.